You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Hey, it's Nick. Two things I want to mention here real quickly before we get started. First, this episode was recorded last week before the release of the Ilaria and Tyrallion audio drama. So we speculate a little bit about that without knowing that it's coming. And obviously we don't talk about the contents of it because we haven't listened to it when this is recorded. So bear that in mind. We will be addressing that in an upcoming episode, possibly sooner than an upcoming episode. But for now, when we talk about Ilaria and Tyrallion, we are not talking about the audio drama because we didn't know it existed at the time that this was recorded. Also, our good buddy Kavo from Patch Day, who's been on the show before, released a new song parody. Sargeras Went Down to Argus, a parody of Charlie Daniels' band Devil Went Down to Georgia. I recommend everybody check it out. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. So with all that in mind, enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Torn and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about the Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm Gragthar, Torn Hunter on Skywall US.
And I'm Katie, Clanker Goblin Resto Shaman on Dalaran US.
And this is the Torn and the Goblin number 27. Today is September 19th, 2017. We're recording a day earlier than we normally would because life, and last time we're going to record a day later than we normally would, and then everything kind of fell apart. So better to be early in this case, and it's good to be talking to you again, Katie, because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
So how's things been going? How's your friend doing? Because you were housing your one friend who was affected by the hurricane.
Yeah, my friend was actually on St. Martin's, so she went through a lot of different stuff. And this is the friend I always talk about, my friend that is a really big Forsaken fan. And so she finally got back to the United States. She's okay. Everything is going on for her. But we finally got to hang out in-game for a while. You know, that was huge. And we're like, oh, you know, let's get to play WoW again. And it's kind of funny because that's been helping her get through a lot of this, is just reconnecting to the community of friends that she has in Warcraft. And it's pretty amazing. I always tell people how amazing community games are like Warcraft. And it's kind of cool to actually be able to point to a real-life example for me. And, you know, here she is. My best friend, and everyone's helping her through this, so pretty cool. But yeah, so we've been busy hanging out, and I've actually been doing the Paladin Order Hall as well, which has been really fun. Magni, all kinds of stuff.
Before, not to cut you off, but before we get into it, I do just want to remind everybody again that Shadow is the charity pet that is still available on the Blizzard store through the end of the year, and the proceeds for that go to the Red Cross to help the hurricane victims. So again, if you want to help out with that, that's still there. Yes. Just wanted to mention that before we moved into the actual fun stuff of the games and whatnot. So the Paladin Order Hall, talk about that.
Well, I'm just going to jump back to Shadow for just a second because, yes, please, you know, if you haven't already, Shadow was great. I actually gave one to my friend. But, yeah, Paladin Order Hall. So the Paladin Order Hall is a lot of fun right now. I'm playing it on my Blood Elf Pally, who is kind of my baby. I have a lot of babies because I don't have a goblin. Goblins can't be paladins, so he's my Blood Elf. But, that's been really interesting so far, and it's been, like, a lot of it's kind of similar to the other Order Halls, but at the same time, you know, you're getting to go through and meet all these, like, famous paladins, and that's kind of cool. They're like, yes, High Lord, like, da 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 da, and you're like, oh, wow, I feel really righteous right now, and I feel very shiny, and, you know, I have some of the new gear on him from Argus, because I haven't finished, I took him to Argus before I finished his Order Hall. I'm a bad parent, but I'm like, oh, look at how shiny I am and all this light stuff and woo, like, look at me. So I've been having a good time tramping around and getting all the paladin gear on Argus and being a light bulb, for lack of a better word. So what have you been up to, Nick?
Not much. I still haven't gotten very far in Argus. I did struggle last week. Was the do 20 world quests to get your 5,000 order resources. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to get that done on my characters, but I did it. So hopefully this week I'll be able to actually make some progress on Argus now that I have that out of the way. I still haven't had a chance to start the Lucid Nightmare, although I'm looking forward to do that. I think you said the same thing, that you haven't. You were in the secret Discord and you haven't done any of it. I'm a little surprised by that.
I know. So one of the things that me and my friend kind of promised each other is that we would do it together. So I was waiting for her to get back from St. Martin's, and, you know, me and my best friend do a lot of stuff together. So it was one of those where, like, oh yeah, we'll do it together, but we haven't actually been able to have time to sit down and do it, because apparently one of the sections can take over an hour, this very elaborate puzzle with the rooms. And so I'm really excited to do it, and, like, I know all the pieces for it, but like, I'm prepared for every step of the way, but I haven't actually committed to sit down and do it yet. But
yeah, that the endless halls, I am so looking forward to that, because I just love mazes and that kind of stuff, and I'm curious to see how they implement that in World of Warcraft. And yeah, I've done, there was like a website I used to go to that had mazes online. I've done that. I like going to doing corn mazes. I like doing the hedge mazes that they have at like some of the colonial houses and stuff like that. So the fact that I get to do that in World of Warcraft, I may not actually do Argus this week then. In all honesty, nothing on Argus has me as excited. And it's weird to say that, because like, the lore is all really interesting to me and that has me excited, but it's like, I've already kind of got the lore part of it through spoilers and YouTube cinematics and all that stuff. Like, actually playing through the game, like, that's sort of the actual, not drudgery of doing it, but you know, like, actually having to go and do it, it's purely mechanical at this point. But the endless halls, that is an activity I think will be fun, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I don't even care about getting that mount. I just want to do that maze, and when it's done, I'm going to do it again and again and again if I can.
Well, I actually heard an interesting tip, which I have yet to verify, but if you finish the entire, like, nightmare maze and everything like that, you have access to the Crypts of Karazhan on that character.
Really?
Yes, that's what I've heard. I haven't confirmed it yet, but as someone that may love to break the rules and go into the Crypts of Karazhan whenever I can and throw wicked Halloween parties down there, because if we were able to, like, get a warlock under there and warlock portal summon everyone in, it was amazing. We had a great raid party down there.
So, when you throw a wicked Halloween party, are you able to mount the Headless Horseman's mount down there?
Why would you do that to me, Nick? Right in the feels. Right here. Right where that space where my heart should be. Why would you do that? That was so mean.
Because I have it, so I just assume everybody has it.
I might not talk to you for the rest of the podcast.
Well, that's going to be an interesting show then.
Just the next, like, 45 minutes of you talking to yourself.
Well, that was last week.
Yeah, exactly.
So was there anything else you wanted to talk about, or did you want to get into the topic at this point, or...
Sure. I mean, I didn't really have much more to say other than Shadow is adorable. I love that little pet. The little fox pet is super cute. So that. Oh, and I was able to get to 350 mounts. So, like, as the mountaholic.
Nice.
I was foamed at the mouth a bit and rolled around in my chair, and then promptly got back to searching for more mounts. But that was pretty cool, and I was glad that I able to do it. And I know a lot of people out there are like, you know, you got 350, don't brag about it. But I'm like, yes, so many mounts. And now I get to the Cloud Serpent, the Celestial Cloud Serpent, the beautiful azure one, actually is missing a texture in its mouth. So when it opens its mouth, it's blackened part of it. And so now I'm all that hard work, and I'm like, no, it's missing a texture and it's going to bother me forever. So
when they first put in the updated Horde mounts, they put it in the updated Horde and the updated Alliance mounts, the armored Wyvern in Mist of Pandaria, I think it was 5.1 where they put that in. That was missing a texture on its upper mouth, but it wasn't black. You just saw right through it.
Yep.
So, like, you basically, like, as you're flying from the right angle, you just, like, we're staring at your character's crotch.
Yeah, I could go through an entire list of weird things I've noted with mounts. Like, there was a point in, I think it was either late Pandaria or early Draenor, where the raptors had laryngitis. So you do their mount special and they wouldn't make any noise at all. They'd just be like, you're just like, where's my raptor noise? And so I sent in a couple of tickets about it, and they fixed it eventually. I was like, yay, no raptor laryngitis. But the raptors were one of my favorite mounts in the beginning of the game. So I was like, but the raptors, you have to fix them. But yeah.
Well, you saw you found a bug on the catfish mount, didn't you?
Yeah, so if you mount the catfish mount right now, I don't know when it happened. I think it's probably a 7.3 bug, or maybe it's just a patch, a smaller patch. But the whiskers are actually displaced from the face. So if his face is here, the whiskers actually hover out here. And so when you swim, they go all crazy off to the side. It's pretty humorous, actually. You're just like, well, I guess he doesn't have whiskers right now. They're just over there. So, but yeah, no, there's a lot of mount bugs I find all the time because I ride all of my mounts. All the time. I spent a lot of time just looking at my mounts.
so out of the 350 mounts, one, which one was the mount that put you over the top to get number 350? And then two, which is your favoriteest mount, or what are your like top two or three most favorite mounts, if you can narrow it down that much?
Okay, well, as an avid mount collector, the mount that put me over was actually this guy. I found a very inexpensive Wastelands Towel Strider that hadn't been scratched, and I debated scratching it for like a month.
Where did you find that?
eBay, my friend. eBay. But I've been looking for this mount for virtually ever. And at one point they were really cheap, and I was able to pick one up. And that was the mount that put me over. Because I sat there, I was like, I need one more mount. I was staring at the card. It was actually last night. And I was like, do I dare scratch this card? I'm like, I feel like the heavens have given me a signal to scratch this card now. And I'm like, okay, I can do it now. And so I did scratch the card. I know a lot of people are like, why would you ever scratch the card? And I'm like, I'm a mount collector. That's what I do. I ruin people's lives by scratching expensive cards. So I will not... If I ever get a Spectral Tiger card, which I don't ever intend to do, but I'm not going to scratch it. That's too far above and beyond what I'd be willing to do. But the Wastelands Tall Strider put me over, and I'm just absolutely thrilled because it's one of my favorites. For my favorite mounts, I guess there's five. So of the ones that I own, my favorite mount, the TCG, is the Chicken Mount. That's my favorite mount. Second favorite mount is probably also a TCG, which is the Feldrake mount. And then of the ones that are in game, it's Ravenlord and Time Lost Proto Drake. And then of course the Headless Horseman, which I don't have. So those would probably be my top five, mounts that I love. And I have a mount problem. Hi, I'm Katie. I have a mount problem, but I am now the Lord of the Reins. So.
Do you get a title with that? I feel like you should get a title with that.
Mountaholic.
No, Lord of the Reins. That should be.
That would be pretty cool. That's what the achievement is called. I would love it if it was a title. I would have it on at least one of my hoarding characters. But
makes sense.
I'm just really glad that mounts no longer take bag space because I would be drowning in mounts.
You know, that when I came back, because I originally played in vanilla for a little bit and then I left and came back middle of Burning Crusade-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like playing through vanilla and like seeing how difficult it was to get mounts and pets and that they actually took up space in the bag. And I'm like, this is crazy. Or maybe actually, no, maybe it wasn't Burning Crusade. Maybe that I actually don't even remember when they made all those changes. So this may have been even during when I was playing during Burning Crusade and then I came back for Cataclysm. But mm-hmm. I remember like hearing some of the changes to the game that had gone on while I was away and how like mounts were much more widely available and they had all these pets left and right. And I'm like, how do people have bag space for all this? I don't understand. And then I finally came back and like, I was like, oh, you just click on it and you just know it. I'm like, that's much more convenient.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I think it was in Wrath somewhere, because I remember I came in at the tail end of BC, and I farmed that Whelplink, the Crimson Whelplink. I farmed that for like 10 levels of leveling up, and in BC that was still impressive. So I killed that many poor little Crimson Whelplings just to get that pet, and then it was sat in my bag forever, because I had that, and then I had my, the Nightsaber. Which was my first mount, and oh my god, I was like, oh, a mount! And that's what got me started on this horrible
When you
process.
Say the Night Saber, that's just a regular Night Elf mount.
Yep, it was the level 30 Night Saber.
Okay.
And then I also remember I got a Recruit-a-Friend mount that I had to level up to use, because that was my first, like, epic mount, was the Recruit-a-Friend Zebra mount, the Zevra, because I couldn't use it at level 30. Oh, is it 30 or is it 40? 40, back in the day. Because I think they didn't, yeah, they didn't lower the mount up until, I think, Wrath, I want to say, to 30, like 40 to 30. And then, because it used to be 40, 60, and it was 3060, I think. And now it doesn't really matter as much because now it's like 20 and 50 or something like that. Yeah, I should know. I just...
No, it's 20. It's 20 and 40.
Yeah, I think you it's 20 and 40.
It's 20 and, yeah, I don't know what the other one is. Yeah.
Yeah, 20, 40, 70 for the flying.
Yes.
I think it's
70.
Yes. Or is it 60 for... No, I think it's still 70.
No, it's 60 for the flying 60. Because okay. You can... I think so, because then you can fly in the old world.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, you're right. So yeah, lots of changes over the years.
I know. I just remember when I first got my... Or I saw the original old school... Orc wolf mount, and I was like, oh, I want that on my Tauren. But at the time, I think the mounts were racially locked.
Yes.
So you could only get your races mounts, and I was like, I'm never gonna get that wolf on my Tauren. I'm just gonna have to ride those stupid looking Kodo. And then at some point they opened that up, and I was like, yes, now I just have to farm orc rep. And how the hell am I gonna do that? Because I think at the time that's when you had to turn in the cloth.
Yep.
Like that was the only way to boost your rep at one point, and that was... I never got that far. I remember I was looking all over the world trying to do every quest I could. I'm like, am I getting Orgrimmar rep with this? Am I getting Orgrimmar rep with this? And finally, I think just in general, I think eventually there were enough quests in the game that if you played long enough, you got Orgrimmar rep that you didn't even have to do that. That it all worked out. Now my Tauren only rides wolves.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. I totally remember when they lifted the weight restriction because there were a bunch of night elves that could finally ride Mechanist Riders. At this point, I hadn't moved over to the Horde yet. And so everyone's like, oh, night elves can ride Mechanist Riders. Like, this is great. And there were a bunch of comics of, like, Tauren riding the, not the Tall Striders, the Swift Striders or whatever
Blood
Elves ride. Yeah, there was a couple of good comics about that. And yeah, and I remember before the tabards that they released that you could use in the dungeons, you had to grind all the reps. So I did that as Moon and I ground every single Alliance reputation. It's just like, I have a problem. I did it all like when it was hard. I did the Winter Spring Sabers when they were hard, when before they did the daily quest thing. I did that on purpose. Like I knew they were changing it. I'm like, oh, I need the bragging rights to go and do it the original way. And I suffered through it, and I did it.
They changed that in Cataclysm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Cataclysm.
Okay, so I did it the easy way then.
Well, and I mean, I shouldn't say the easy way, because it still takes a long time. So, it, you know, I'm still like, oh, good for you, you did it. And most people are like, yeah, I forgot about it. Like the Venom Hide Raptor, yeah, I forgot about it. I started it, and it takes too long.
Well, that was one of those things, too. Like, I wanted the Venom Hide Raptor on my main, and I wound up, it just worked out that my undead rogue was like level 50 something right at the time that they made that change. And so he's right in, he's in Un'Goro doing the quests there. And I'm like, oh, I might as well do these quests to unlock the Venomhide Raptor here. And then I did that for a month and now he had the Raptor and I'm like, oh, I can't get it on my main though. And it wasn't till Mists when they made the change. What was it? They made the change that the mounts were account wide. I think that was Mists, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like that, I mean, that was a huge quality of life change. That just changed everything.
Yeah, that was, like, I know one of the most recent updates they did would allow the Argent Tournament mounts to count for both. So if you have, like, the Mechanist Rider on one, then it counts for the, I'm trying to remember what gnomes are. But that was a bad example. It's like
I think gnomes are trolls.
Yeah, gnomes, I think, yeah, gnome
which trolls. I don't understand how they match up races.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because if you think about it, like, okay, orcs and humans, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then it's Tauren and dwarves. That I don't get. I feel like Tauren, and I understand, like, I understand to a degree, like, they set up these pairings at stages. Like, originally, you only had the original four races, so they kind of had to mix and match them at that point. So maybe Tauren and Dwarves make sense out of the original four, but, like, now you have Tauren. I feel like Draenei match up much better with Tauren because they're both big and hooved and have tails, and,
or
you know,
like
they're both...
That's say, like, Tauren and elves would have made, night elves would have made sense out of the game.
No, because, see, night elves make sense against the trolls because they're like, related.
I got you there. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then you have gnomes and goblins. Gnomes and goblins.
Yep.
Because they're, you know, tiny engineers. They're very similar. And then, who else? Oh, and then you have the Forsaken and the Worgen because they're always fighting. So they make sense as a pairing.
Always fighting, you know
they are. That's and true, then you ha- and then you have what the Blood Elves and who am I forgetting on the Alliance? I forget somebody.
Yeah, we're forgetting someone for sure.
We got they would go with the dwarves then, I guess, because I didn't pair the dwarves up with anybody.
Yeah, okay, I think so.
Does that make
I know
sense?
We're missing Pandaren, but Pandaren.
Well, but Pandaren don't pair. They pair up with Pandaren.
Mm-hmm. What about demon? Well, I guess demon hunters are neutral too, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, so.
Also, okay, so well, I probably shouldn't even bring this up yet, but
let's
since
bring what up?
Okay, I shouldn't say this because we should bring it up for our BlizzCon one, but of the new races you expect to show up, because if you look at like how every expansion releases, like they'll either release a new class or a new race. So I'm wondering what the new races are going to be. At least if they don't release a new race, this would be the first time they didn't.
I think we both. Well, here's the thing. I don't want them to release a new race because it won't be Arakoa.
Yes. And no. That would be sad.
I don't know. I think given the potentially voidy nature of the next expansion, I think Ethereals are a popular race to anticipate.
I could see. I know they've been wanting to have Ogres for the Horde for a long time. So I could see that being on the Horde, but I'm trying to think of what they would have on the Alliance.
That could be something I think like Ethereals, Ogres, something like that. I don't, you know, in all honesty, I'm not too excited about Ogres on the Horde. Like, I'm sure it'll be cool and all, but I feel like they've been, I guess, I don't know. It's almost like, in a way, they're kind of like goblins where it's like they should have been part of it all along.
Yeah. Well, they technically are.
So it's like to add them now. Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing. Technically the Tonka are. I mean, how many times have we gone around and actually administered the Horde oath to people?
I don't know. Like, how many, like, if we count stuff from, or, you know, races from, like, other planets, like, hey, you want to join the Horde? Like, sign here, buddy, and we'll hook you up with that red uniform. Like, you know, please take it off and wash it. And they're like that one guy from the Jade Forest that never washed his Horde uniform.
I'm drawing a blank on
Sorry.
Who that is.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his name is. He gets turned to Jade, but, like, one of the things you go up if you click on him, I'm trying to remember his name. But if you talk to Nazgrim, Nazgrim's like, yeah, I really appreciate this guy's enthusiasm for the Horde, but he's never taken off the red shirt, and it really stinks. So all I think of is like, here, please, like a goblin be like, hey, yeah, sign the contract here, and you can join the Horde. Please wash your stuff. Like, I don't know. But
well, that's kind of the quest in Tanaris, where the goblins tell you to go out and recruit a bunch of ogres into the Horde. Well, and they give you that contract that you have to go get them to sign. And they're ogres, so they're dumb, so they'll sign it no matter what.
Well, they can't read, probably, so they're just like, okay. And you're like, I kind of feel bad doing this, but it's also hilarious, so. But yeah, no, there are Blood Maul, I think. It's either Blood Maul or Blood Fist ogres that Rexxar is in charge of, and those are technically part of the Horde, so.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Mitzen had said years ago that he wanted goblins and ogres to be part of the Horde. Like, those were races he has been wanted, past tense, because he's not there anymore, but he wanted to implement forever. So I find it odd that Pandaren were introduced before ogres, but I could totally see them doing something like, oh, you know, off of the shore of the new, was Tearsfall? No, I'm being a bad lore specialist right now. The new, it's not really an island, where we're going to go probably next expansion with Janna.
Kul Tiras?
Kul Tiras, yeah. Like, off the shore of Kul Tiras, there's suddenly a clan of ogres, or, you know.
That could be. That
I don't know.
Be.
I'm really interested to see what the big carrot will be this year for, like, new shiny. You know, the other thing, I shouldn't even say this, because I know we shouldn't even be talking about this right now, but I'm so excited. I'm hoping they'll give you more race customizations. That would also be acceptable.
That's been the pipe dream for... That's been the dream Never. For years.
Well, and I mean, they've been really good about listening. Like, this year they had mounts for the virtual ticket, which is really cool. So, I don't
That's
know.
That's true. That's true. They haven't done that for a while. So
since the first, actually.
Yeah. So, let's...
but anyway.
Yeah, that was a long...
It was really long and convoluted, but I got really excited. So we started talking about races. I was like, can I sit on it long enough? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But...
So, So our topic for tonight, which was supposed to be our topic like two or three episodes ago, and then it got pushed around, and then we're going to talk about it last time, and we didn't record last time. And so, our topic for tonight is the Magni scenario.
Yeah.
And what's it called? It's got something of like a fearful world or something, or fears
I think
of
it's
a
like
forgotten...
whispers of a fearful world or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. You're the one that played it tonight. I didn't have the chance.
I know. I just did it. So I was like, oh, well, I just did it again. But that was a really cool scenario. And I feel like it's tough because, like, you know, in a year from now, we'll look back and be like, oh, all the answers are right there. But they're disguised well enough that we can't exactly discern what, I don't know, like, so, you know, when you go into the chamber with Magni, he's like, oh, you know, Azeroth is reacting to something. She's having a nightmare, which I'm like, also, it's kind of amazing to have a dwarf caretaker. It just sounds kind of amazing. So, but he, when you go in to kind of figure out what's happening with Azeroth, you find out that she's having nightmares. Which I'm kind of like, is she actually having nightmares, or is this something a little different? Like, what is a nightmare for a Titan? Like, is it prophetic? Is it, you know, is something actually attacking her? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's loose enough.
The nightmares of a Titan, wasn't that supposed to be kind of what the Emerald Nightmare was? Or, I mean, or I guess, well, the Emerald Dreaming is not the, that's a separate thing that was created by Ysera. Was it Ianar that created that? I think it was Ianar that created that. Freya, not Ianar. Freya, it was Freya. The watcher that had Ianar's essence. Mm-hmm. Freya,
yeah,
she created
it. Freya created it, and Ysera was the guardian of it, more or less.
Yes.
But
that's separate from the nightmares that Azeroth is having now.
Right. From what I understand, is that they are separate. They didn't, like, in the scenario, they didn't really go over a whole lot of what exactly the nightmares are to Azeroth. Like, they just are like, oh, she's having a nightmare and something, like, you know, all these shadowy forms start appearing in this chamber you're in. And, they're, you know, at first they're old gods, so I'm like, oh, old god hype, like, oh, this is gonna totally, but then you also start seeing, like, demons and other things pop up, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, so it's not just old gods, so it's not like the old gods are attacking her per se, which doesn't mean they're not, but it's just interesting that they chose to show both old gods and demons, probably because she's being attacked by both right now. Go ahead.
But if that's, I mean, I don't know, that seems a little bit on the nose to be like, oh, what kind of nightmares is the planet having? It's having nightmares about stuff that's legitimately threatening it right now. Like, I would think, like, you know, like, why not have some more, like, existential nightmares?
Well, like, it kind of does, though, because at the end, so what, like, it's cool because you can hear this heartbeat as you go into the chamber, and it starts to pulse faster and faster as you're trying to get rid of all these nightmares, and there's, these keepers that are, you know, like, these security wardens, right? Then they're just on their knees, and they're, you know, they've been deactivated by the nightmare. So you go around and reactivate a couple of them, and, once they're reactivated, Azeroth calms down and she's kind of able to start to communicate. And then this giant shadowy form comes out and it looks like a demon, but it starts speaking in different voices. So it has like a demon voice, has an old god voice. And then what really struck me is it had a Garrosh voice and it said different things. And you're just like, whoa, wait, like you were saying all these different, like, you will be destroyed. But there's so many different voices, and some of them are from the past and some of them are from the future. And that kind of really struck me because I was like, why am I hearing Garrosh? Like, oh, like, you know, he was in with the old gods and we're hearing like demon voices, like clearly very demonic voices. And so part of me is like, are these nightmares? Are these like scars that Azeroth has where she's trying to, you know, deal with all of the things that have happened to her on her, you know, that we've kind of been through together, and what does this mean going forward? And then at the end, all Magni has to say is, it's like, oh, well, I'm glad we kind of got that sorted out. Like, he has this, like, Azeroth kind of channels through him as, like, rivers of fire and blood and the skies are on fire. And you're just, like, ripping your seat. You're like, oh, this sounds really bad. But then at the end, he's like, oh, well, our fate is on Argus. So now we got to go to Argus and we got to find out what's happening. Sargeras is back. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, that was a lot to take in. But I feel like there was so much more there that was kind of just like hidden under the surface than, oh, time to go to Argus. Like, as I said, I feel like in a year we're going to look back. It's going to be like Rathion's thing. We're like, Rathion was right, but we knew the Legion was coming. But also, like, it's like, and in other news, we're going to go somewhere else first. But
well, it is interesting, though, that we go and we hear the planet in pain, and then the planet's like, you need to leave.
Yeah, right? Like, it's like, basically what Magni says is, your destiny is on Argus. That's how we're going to save Azeroth. And I'm like, how does Azeroth know that? Like, and then, you know, go to Argus and we talk to Magni there. And I guess Argus is also a Titan.
Well, isn't that, you know, but isn't that part of the thing, though, that ties into the whole the King of Diamonds is a pawn?
Oh, yeah.
Where if you buy into that, and that's the that was one of the, was it Ilganoth that said that, or it's Zalatath that says that when Ilganoth's around? I forget. No, it's the knife that says it, right?
This I is think all with so,
the knife.
Yeah.
The knife whispers when you're fighting Ilganoth, and the knife being the Shadow Priest artifact, and which was made from part of an old god once upon a time. And so that knife, it says what, the King of Diamonds is a pawn. It's one of many things that it says. And so the speculation there is the King of Diamonds being Magni. That means that he's a pawn. So presumably he's actually a pawn of the old gods, or he's a pawn of somebody, presumably the old gods. We actually don't know. I mean, he could be a pawn of the light from the old gods' perspective, but it doesn't seem that way. That it would seem, the implication is that we shouldn't trust Magni, that Magni doesn't know that he's been turned, basically.
Yes. And I think that would make for, well, I should, like, it'd make for a more compelling story in a lot of ways, but, like, I guess that's part of the speculation, like, who is he a pawn of? Like, I doubt it's Sargeras, but, you know.
Well, it's not just speculation of who is he a pawn of, it's speculation about whether or not you can even trust the knife, because yes. The question there is, you know, I personally like it when you have villains who are straight up honest and tell you things and, like, you know, like, give you clues and prophecies and all that kind of stuff that wind up being true. Like, there's no fun in a villain that comes out and lies. Like, any villain can lie. That's what villains do. You know, they come out and like, to me, it's always the villains who tell the truth that are the most disastrous, because they're always the ones that are, you know, because they don't just fight you. They're the villains that, like, break up relationships, and then kind of like in Civil War, yes. the Captain America movie, like, Baron Zemo was an effective villain, not because, you know, he fought, you know, he didn't even really fight the Avengers,
no.
But he got, you know, he was able to drive that wedge between Captain America and Tony Stark, and he just had to split them just a little bit, and then they fed on it. And that's the kind of villain, that's the way I see the old gods working. Like, they see what little cracks are in our society, what cracks are in our relationships. You know, it's very easy for them. I mean, the Alliance and the Horde, their relationship is always tenuous, even at its best, that it's easy for them to come in and do some stuff to affect that. And, you know, so if you've got a villain, like I want to believe that the knife is being honest and manipulative, you know, maybe omitting some facts, but when the knife says, like, Magni is a pawn, and we're supposed to believe that, you know, Magni is a pawn of the old gods, like, I kind of want to believe that I can trust the knife.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like that, as I said, it's kind of more compelling. Like, it's fun that, first of all, that they split up a lot of these potential hints. So they're already messing with our minds, which is great. Like, you know, they're starting, like, they're throwing dark hints to warlocks and priests and, you know, but at the light, everything is, like, good and just. And we even see the class holes kind of fracturing a little bit with the Death Knights trying to fight the Paladins. And, you know, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you know, so I kind of love what they're doing, because on the surface, we're all working together. But we start to see all these little fractures forming of, you know, people starting to be manipulated and planting seeds of doubt. And this just, it screams old god. And I absolutely love it. And I love a good villain. I love all of the villains, and the old gods are some of the best, because they make your skin crawl. They, you know, they mess with how you think about things. And they're like, you know, Blizzard is like, oh, what can we do to get the community going and kind of, you know, start little mini wars between different factions and different order halls. And so I'm very much hoping that the knife in some ways is right. Like, I'd be sad, you know, I'm obviously be like, no, Magni, how tragic. But also I'd be like, yes, evil, like, woo, like, it's more fun and more story. So
It also be a bit like, I understand, like, the old gods are supposed to foment dissent by lying. Like, I get that part of it. But at the same time, like, for Blizzard to have this, you know, have these comments made and for them to be false.
Yes.
For them to be patently false, that we're supposed to just look at them and take them as false upon their face and then move on and never question again. Well, what did they mean? Why were those put there? Like, I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit about the Lucid Nightmare before. That is one of those things where, like, you give the community a bone and they will chew on it. They will chew on it until the marrow is sucked dry, and then they'll just eat whatever's left of the bone. And, you know, like, and the Lucid Nightmare, like the Riddler's mind worm, that feeds into that. But that's at least very game specific. You give us something like the knife making these comments, that's a lot more. I mean, that's our domain. That's our purview. That's the whole point of this show, is to talk about the story and lore. Like, that's exactly right up our alley. And so we're going to go and we're going to chew on that, and we're going to suck the marrow out of that. And then for Blizzard to come back later and say, oh yeah, there was no marrow there. Like, what, you know, like, in a way, they would just be saying, like, oh, you guys just wasted your time.
Yeah. And I think they've actually gotten really good about, at least recently, and this is just kind of how I feel like, they did an okay job in previous expansions, but I feel like Legion, they've really kind of started to, I don't know, involve the community more, right? Like, they've started putting these hints in there that start driving a lot of discussion. Like, before it was a little bit, you know, but, like, especially with the addition of the two mounts, the Lucid Nightmare and the Mind Worm, you know, it's like people are like, oh, they're paying attention to us, and, like, they're starting to put in things that are making us think about stuff, and so now that they've started to add comments like that one, like the knife and like the skull, you know, it, to me, it starts to lend more credence. Like, I should listen more. It's not just like, oh, this is an evil knife and I'm going to huck it in a dumpster. I'm like, this is made out of an old god. Is it telling me something? Like, should I not listen to this? But it's also an old god, so it's probably going to trick me and tell me half truths. But I don't know. I've been very impressed with the storytelling, so I'm totally getting sucked into all of these things and, like, trying to figure out what I believe is going to happen and not happen. So, I don't know. I think Blizzard's been doing a great job with that, and I absolutely love it. And I'm hoping, if you know, with the old gods, the next expansion storytelling is going to be even better, and they're going to have more, like, just broken, weird stuff. So, I don't know. And more crazy mounts for us to find, but...
Well, I think we're in a good position, though, because even if, I mean, everybody's all hyped up for the old gods, but if you remember coming out of Mists, everybody was all like, yeah, it's going to be the Legion, because Raytheon was all, the Legion is coming. And then we're like, we got something completely different.
That's
so
true.
There's still, and I mean, I know, like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, reasons to believe certain points of speculation and whatnot. But even if, you know, there's still a chance that the next expansion could have nothing to do with the old gods. Like, I think it'd be perfectly fine if they focus the next expansion on whatever. And, you know, even if it is something like Kul Tiras or something like that, that doesn't necessarily mean it's old god related.
That's true.
And they let that all sit on the back burner, because you know that at the very least, they're going to still be peppering those little hints about the old gods all throughout it. Because even Warlords, as much as it, I mean, that led directly to the Legion invasion that Raytheon was promising. So, yeah.
Which even did though an it excellent didn't, job, but
so no. Exactly. And even though it didn't seem like we were going to be getting that Legion invasion immediately, I mean, Manoroth showed up. Manoroth was front and center in that cinematic that we got that set off Warlords. And so even if the old gods aren't quite the next focus of the next expansion, even if we're going to go on some kind of detour, be it like Pandaria 2.0 or something like that, where we're off doing something else, the old gods are still going to be in the background. We're still going to get stuff, not necessarily the knife talking about stuff like that, but we're going to find evidence of the old gods. We're going to hear whispers. We're going to see things we shouldn't be seeing. And that will lead up to possibly the next expansion, possibly the expansion after that, that we know that they have it set up for us at some point, and they will let it percolate as long as they need to let it percolate. So whatever they do, even if the next expansion isn't explicitly old gods, it's still going to be fun to see, like, how they affect us there.
Well, and I agree. Like, one of the things that I don't really have a problem with it, but, you know, we're knocking out both the Legion and then potentially the old gods, which, you know, those are two major villains. And I'm not sure if we'll actually ever defeat the Burning Legion. Like, we'll see how this expansion ends, but, because we'll know more when the raid actually opens. but they could still do a lot. Like, there's still many avenues for them to take here, which is fascinating, because I'm like, oh, what are they going to do? Like, oh, who knows? But I'd still like to find out a whole bunch more about the Army of the Light. Like, so I would actually be okay if they didn't continue, like, right away with the Old Gods. I am super excited for the Old Gods. I don't want anyone to think I'm not. But as someone who has been dying to find out what happened to Illyria and Trelion, you know, at least as far as I know, we still haven't gotten the Sylvanas dialogue yet. Sylvanas and Gen are still not tied up, and there's so much left of Legion that still is unfinished, and I'm not sure it'll be tied up in the next expansion. It might be, but it feels like the book, we haven't gotten the cover to cover yet, so, which we usually don't, but I don't know.
Actually, let me ask you now that, because you've, how far are you in 7.3?
I'm decently far. I got to Mikari, and I've unlocked a couple zones, but not much more than that. I haven't done the newest stuff from last week.
Okay, well, you're further than I am.
Okay.
But for as far as you've gotten, the fact that you're now hanging out with Teleria and Terralion and Illyria, you know, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the story so far in 7.3 that you've seen?
Okay, so there are a couple pieces. First of all, I love it. It's great, and I'm really excited that we're there with them again. I like having Terralion there because he's kind of like Khadgar 2.0. He'll never replace Khadgar, of course, but... some of the interesting things that they haven't addressed that me and my friend have noticed is Terralion and Illyria just accept you if you're Horde. They're like, oh yeah, it's an orc. And I'm like, but when you hear Illyria's dialogue about Sylvanas leading the Horde, Illyria is very upset about it. She's like, why our sister leads the Horde? And, you know, Maurice is like, well, there's more I gotta tell you, but we should probably have this conversation in private. And I'm like, no. Which I'm sure I would imagine we either have to hear it or there'll be a book on it or something, you know? But the other thing that bothers me a little bit that I don't quite understand is when, like, we don't really have any filler for what happened to, as far as I know, we don't have any filler for Terralion and Illyria after they left Outland. Like, how did they get picked up by the Army of the Light? Where did they go? Where are all the Alliance forces that were with them on Outland? Because there were supposed to be a bunch of them. And it's just all Draenei. It's like Illyria and Trelion and Draenei.
So. Well, you know, that worries me because War Crimes was great.
Yes.
War Crimes was an amazing bridge between Mists and Warlords. Mm-hmm. And then coming out of Warlords, we didn't get a bridge from Warlords to Legion. Well, I guess technically we did if you count
the
Illidan. No, the Illidan book was not a bridge from Warlords to Legion. The Illidan book was... That was all just what Illidan did. That was that was the other side of Burning Crusade.
Right. Well, I guess I kind of thought of that as a bridge, but
for a bridge, you need to come from one place to go to another. That didn't come from anything in Warlords. That came from its own spot. And really, if anything, the bridge that we got between Warlords and Legion was the Tomb of Sargeras audio drama, which was amazing.
Yes.
And so I'm actually kind of going to cut myself off here because I forgot about the Tomb of Sargeras audio drama, because my concern is that, like, we're going to get that novel that's going to, you know, supposed to bridge us from Legion to whatever comes next. And instead of getting a novel that actually does that progresses some of the storylines. I mean, that was the one thing about War Crimes that was so great, was that it was a nice denouement for a lot of the characters from Mists. Like, I really feel like Mists of Pandaria started with the Jaina novel, what, Tides of War?
Yes.
And it ended with War Crimes. And, you know, I mean, obviously the expansion was in the middle of that, but, like, that is, like, if you want the full Mists of Pandaria experience, you start by reading Tides of War, you play through Pandaria, do all the raids and everything, and then you read War Crimes to wrap it all up. And... I don't feel like we've had, I mean, you know, something similar with, like, the Cataclysm, how the Shattering was a major part of setting up the Cataclysm and everything we saw in game there, that I want to see a novel that does the same thing, that actually takes a lot of the characters that we've seen, you know, for the characters that we're not going to see again, it gives them a nice send off, it ties up their stories as best it can. I'm thinking mostly of, like, the Nightfallen, who we probably won't see in the next expansion, mm-hmm. but I want to get that novel that kind of carries everything through. And that's a novel where you would see possibly Ilaria and Sylvanas, or Ilaria and Varisa talking about Sylvanas, something like that. My concern is that we're going to get another Illidan style novel that will pick up a thread that was abandoned years ago and then use that to lead into the next expansion. And I've said this before, I think that we might get the Jaina book. I'd be okay with the Jaina book because her thread was abandoned in early Legion. So if we get this is what Jaina was doing during Legion while you were off fighting the Legion, I'd be okay with that. Because as long as at the end, it kind of ties everything together into what's going to happen. But if we get something like Teleria and I can't say their names, Tyrallion and Ilaria, if we get a book about them, well, don't get me wrong, I'd be excited about that because I'm very curious to see what happens. But I want them to focus more on the story directly on Azeroth. I don't need to hear what Tyrallion and Ilaria. I'm going to stop saying their names. I'm going to have to just call them him and her or something. He and she. The light one and the voidy one. But
which is not concerning at all.
Obviously. Well, we'll get to that. But yep. As far I do want to hear their story, but I don't want that in place of the other story. Like I want all the stories. I'm being very greedy. I want all the stories. I want to know what's going on Azeroth post Legion. I want to know what Jaina was doing during Legion. I want to know what the two that I was just talking about, Voidy and Lighty, what they've been doing for the duration of the 1,000 years that they've been fighting the Legion. And I know that you don't need to tell the entire thing, especially if the Legion is ostensibly defeated at the end of this expansion. But I mean, just as far as whatever character development we need, and I know we're getting some of that, we're getting some of that in the expansion. So, I mean, maybe that's something where it's weird to say a short story can cover 1,000 years, but if they give us some sort of presentation about what they've been doing, what happened when they first found themselves, going through the portals, leaving Outland as it was getting shredded, stuff like that, that would be cool to see.
Yeah. And I agree. I'd be okay if they even released two novels, which they might not, because we know that Christine Golden, at least we hope that she's working on a novel. I would guess she probably is, to bridge to the next expansion coming out next year.
What if they have her just writing old god riddles?
That would be also amazing. I'd totally, totally be down for that. She's one of my favorite Warcraft authors because she's written most of the last couple novels with the exception of the Illidan one. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree because I want to know what's happening on Azeroth, and I love the bridge. Actually, I think War Crimes is one of my top Warcraft books of all time. It was amazingly written. It gave us a lot of depth and perspective on characters that were really relevant at the time. Anduin and Garrosh, it was super cool to see them talk to each other, and if we got more context in the book even, and that was such a good book. So if you haven't read War Crimes, do your homework. Go read War Crimes. It's amazing. Now that we've War Crimes is so great, but it really is.
We need to do an episode on War Crimes at some point. We'll have to put that on the schedule.
Yeah, we'll start doing the books if you haven't. I have all of them, so I can, yeah.
Yes.
But I think it's tough because I would like to see them do more short stories because for a long time they were releasing short stories and recently they stopped. And I would even be okay with a short story about what happened to Tyrallion and Ilaria. I think the big thing is inquiring minds need to know what happened. They went through the portal and suddenly they're here. There's this huge gap of time. Apparently they've been fighting for thousands of years. What does that mean? Where did their forces go? How did they meet up with these Draenei? How did they get to the ship? What is the Army of the Light? Where did it come from? How did you find all these people? Were they just floating out there in space? How did you meet up with the Prime Naru? There's a lot of questions.
One thing I'd like to see them answer is when you go and talk to Tyrallion for one of the first times, he says, I haven't seen insert race in a long time, I haven't seen a dwarf in a long time. I don't know what he says if you're a human. He probably doesn't say anything because, actually that's a good question. I don't know what he says if you're a human, but he says, I haven't seen a dwarf in a long time. I haven't seen a goblin in a long time. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a Tauren in a long time.
I haven't seen a Pandaren in a long time. Right.
Forsaken didn't even exist when you left Azeroth. So I'm assuming that's just one of those little default dialogue things that kind of got overlooked under the various circumstances. But if they can find a way to somehow retcon that, so that makes sense, kudos to them then.
Well, that's one of those things going to BlizzCon, I'm going to be standing in the back being okay, now that Illyria and Tyrallion are here, I have a lot of questions for you. You know, like, it is weird because they didn't, like, even, they could have done something weird, like, in Draenor, right? There was only one person that ever acknowledged he'd never seen us before, a race like us before, and that was a laughing skull orc as you go into Gorgrond. He's like, huh, hail stranger, you look weird. Like, that's all it took. Like, if a Teleria, or, now you got me doing it, Corellion and Illyria, like, if they had had any dialogue, if you were Horde, like, I just wanted them to have dialogue say, like, wait, you are not a member of the Alliance. Like, anything like that would have been fine. Or, like, just, like, oh, I hear that you are a member of the Horde, but we have heard that the Horde has changed. Like, anything like that would have been fine, but they didn't, like, you know, suddenly you have a bunch of orcs popping up on your ship.
Well, I don't know if they've heard that the Horde has changed, because if they had heard the Horde has changed, then they might have heard that Sylvanas was in charge of it now.
Well, and I mean, like, that's why I'm confused, because you have, like, for me, Illyria and Trelion were, the last time they were on Azeroth, they were fighting orcs, trolls, you know, some goblins, because it's the Second War, you know, ogres, all of these things that are suddenly, well, maybe not the ogres, but all of these races that are suddenly showing up on their ship, sans Torin, you know, they're like, oh, hold on a second, you know, like, these blood elves, these, you know, these previously high elves look really funny now, and I can sense fell on them. What's going on? And then there's a bunch of demon hunters, but they're like, oh, I guess Illidan's a demon hunter. Like, they don't even address that there's a lot of weird things.
They don't even know who Illidan is.
Yeah, they don't know who Illidan is. There's a bunch of worgen. I would never imagine they would know what a worgen is, you know? And so, like, I understand that they're supposed to have traveled across the universe and recruited all of these different races. Like, I get that. Well, and first of all, we don't see any of them, but we don't see anything other than Draenei. But
right. Well, that's the other thing too, is that he says, "Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen a Draenei," or something like that. And yeah, it's like, they're standing like right there. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I guess I felt a little cheated by that, because I don't think it would have been hard for them to make just a couple separate dialogue lines for, like, what are you? You know,
this is what happens when you rush to get content out and you're putting it out on this strict 11-week schedule and you don't have time to Q&A it properly, and you get crappy dialogue like this. I don't know what they're doing. They need to go back to the old way. Content drops for everybody.
Content drops. Yeah, that's it. Everybody just mic drop. We're just we're for content drops now. That's our official stance, Torin the Goblin. but yeah, no, I think it's really good overall. I've been really impressed with Argus. It's just, some of the little story pieces I've been waiting for so long felt a little rushed, and I think that's disappointing, because I wanted so much more, and I'm hoping there will still be so much more, but at this point I'm not feeling as hopeful as I once was. Like, I don't know. It's tough. I'm super excited to see Illyria and Trelion again. Like, I totally am. I love them. I love the dynamic that's going on. There's a lot of questions we have for them. Evidently, they've been through a lot. Illyria is in probably some deep trouble with one of the Prime Narus, the one that Illidan spoiler alerted.
I don't think we need to worry about spoiler, especially on that's what, 3 or 4 week old content at this point. So.
That's true. So the one that he face exploded. But, you know, it's like, there's a lot that's happened, and I feel like we haven't done the best job, like, actually finding it. Like, most of it is just like, okay, like, it's good to see you, go do these things, and you come back, you're like, great, go unlock this zone, and you're like, okay, and they're like, okay, great, now that you're back, go over here, and you're like, but, like, can we not talk about what's happening here first? Like, I need to know.
Well, but, see, the thing is, though, we've waited 12 plus years, 20, more than that, more than that. Yeah, because you're right. Cause there was the end of Warcraft 2 that they went away. So 20 some odd years, we've waited for them to come back.
Yes.
And they're not going to just come back and immediately just be like, answer dump.
That's what I want.
But that's the thing. It's like, they're going to, I mean, presumably you don't bring these characters back to have them show up, like give a whole bunch of exposition and then just kill them off and move on to the next thing. Like, if you're bringing them back, they're going to stick around for a while. They're going to be players, and we have time to get to that. Like, you were talking about, like, Illyria meeting Sylvanas, and I know everybody wants to see that now, but they're not going anywhere. I don't, like, maybe it'll happen in the book mm-hmm. over, you know, between the expansions. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen until sometime next expansion. Mm-hmm. It may not happen for a while just because of the logistics. On the one hand, I suppose, like, if when Sylvanas finds out that Illyria is back, she's going to want to go see her. But on the other hand, like, I mean, it depends what Sylvanas is up to. I mean, she might be busy doing Horde stuff or looking for Valkyr or something along those lines that, I mean, as far as when it happens, we don't know when that's going to be.
That's
and
true.
I think, I mean, they have time to play with it. And then you also get the other problem where the other problem is that, like, the in-game story, it comes so sporadically. Mm-hmm. That you get the start of an expansion, you get this massive amount of story. Every zone is a story. You're meeting new characters left and right. You're seeing old characters you haven't seen in a while showing up, doing stuff. You get a huge story dump. And then after that, you get like a little bit of story. If you're lucky, you get something like Suramar, where every week you get a little bit dribbled out over the course of 11 weeks. But at that point now, it's just one story that you're focused on. You get little tiny bits, and everything else is kind of not ignored, but it's just not focused on. And then maybe if you're lucky, you get a little bit more, you know, the next patch, they'll kind of direct the story where they need to direct it to. And mm-hmm. it's that's sort of the problem that they have, is that they've got all this story that they got to tell. They have a huge backlog of story. It's like a dam holding back this big wave of story. And at best, we're getting little leaks in the dam that we get little tiny, you know, we're filling our cup as best we can with the water that's coming out of this dam. And maybe when there's an expansion, there's a little bit of a crack, you get a little more of a flow. You can take like a shower in the water or something. It's not much water, but like, you know, that's why they need to put out more stories. They need more short stories. They need more novels. They need more comics. They need all of this, not just to set up, you know, I mean, it was great. Like that when they did the comics that set up like the High Mountain Torrent and the Nightfallen and that kind of stuff, but they need comics just to tie up the loose ends. They need, I don't know, hopefully we'll get some extra patch content between now and whenever the next expansion is, that they can maybe use that to just put some story in so we can run around. I mean, that's the one thing. I think that's the one, if there's plenty of lessons they should take from Warlords of Draenor. Mm-hmm. But if there's one lesson that I, well, if there's one lesson that I would like them to take along with several other lessons that I don't want to get into, but if there's one, like, look at Vol'jin.
Yes.
We completely missed Vol'jin as War Chief. His time as War Chief was wasted from our perspective because we don't know what he did. He could have been a great War Chief. He could have been putting in policies left and right, like improving the Horde dramatically, doing all these things. All we saw of him as War Chief was that he reached out to Jaina in War Crimes, and then he shows up in your garrison and like pats you on the back and says, go build a navy.
Yep.
And other than that, he's dead. And, you know, it's too late for them to go back. I mean, if they have plans for Vol'jin and this story's not over, that's great. That, you know, we'll get that. But at this point, there's no point in them going back and being like, well, let's fill in the body of what Vol'jin's war chiefdom looked like.
Right.
It's too late for that. But I want them, I would hope we get more about how Sylvanas is a war chief.
Yes.
I would hope we get more about Anduin's ascendancy and then the interpolitics between him and Gen and Velen and all the other, you know, everything that's going on in Stormwind. I would hope we get more about those stories. And if they can't fit that into the game, and I don't think they can, then they need to fit that into, you know, they need to get that out in other media. They need to get that out other ways. And I hope that they've at least learned enough of that lesson that they'll do that going forward.
And I think they will, because the response to the videos, to the comics, to the short stories, to the novels has been immense. And now that, and not that it was directly related to Chris Metzen, but now that Metzen has left, I'm starting to see a lot more of that. And I'm not sure if that's just because certain people have moved on from Blizzard, or I'm not sure. But whatever it is, like, there's a definite mark. Like, Pandaria had a lot of short stories come out. That was great. And then Draenor really didn't. Like, it had a couple. And we saw the videos, which, oh my gosh, the videos. And, you know, we, like, had the Illidan one and all of Khadgar's. And we had the audio dramas. And I'd actually like to see them start doing a couple of those in the expansion as well. So, like, if there are pieces that they can't fully... you know, just like little backstories, or like, what's Khadgar doing? Is he just sitting around making magical bubbles? Like, what does he do when we're out saving the world? Is he looking up important tomes? Has he gone back to Karazhan? Like, not that those are super important, but ways to expand the world while still giving us like lore content would be phenomenal. And I'm very much looking forward to the next expansion. And I think some of the reason they haven't released a lot of content is because they're waiting for that. And I think, I mean, we don't know when the next expansion is coming out as of yet. So maybe they're holding back some of the story right now until after BlizzCon, and then they can start developing more of it. So that's a point as well. But I'm glad what you said about Terrell. You almost got me to say it. Gosh,
you,
dang it.
You know, we have a title for the episode now.
Illyria and Terrellion. But I'm glad that you kind of mentioned that they're probably not going away. I hope not, because, you know, that would be just plain straight up cruel to be like, here they are again, and let's kill them off. Like, you
that,
know.
That would be some epic trolling to be like, wait, you know, 20 plus years and then bring them back and just kill them. Like,
I mean, there are a lot of characters that don't have tied up endings. Like, I think the biggest one that comes to mind is Thrall, because Thrall, they just kind of shoved in a corner like, okay, he's kind of done now. And I'm like, but like, no, can we at least give him a send off? Like,
you're not wrong that there is more to Thrall's story. But at the same time, Thrall has been such a consistent presence throughout World of Warcraft.
But he hasn't really lately, though. Like, he was in the first part of Draenor, and then he just kind of...
What was the last expansion where he didn't show up?
I mean, he's shown up in every expansion, but I guess my point is
that... But how many other characters... It's like, okay, what was the last expansion... What was the last expansion where Khadgar didn't show up?
Actually, I don't think he was in Pandaria or... Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, like, okay. So he's been in the last two. But he's been a major character that they had.
Right. Well, yeah, he was just the first person off the top of my head. But I mean, like, okay. my point is that Thrall has been such a presence that if they leave him in an unresolved state, because how many other characters have been left in an unresolved state, just kind of hanging out there, we're not sure what they're doing. They're just out there. And I think Thrall's at a point where, you know what, they can leave him out there. Let's focus on some other people. We can come back to him at some point.
I guess my thing is,
that's the problem is, like, if they choose when to come back to people, it's like 2 years. It's like, oh, this expansion, we're not focusing on them. It's another 2 years. If they were pumping out expansions, let's say every 6 months.
Oh, geez.
Right. And I know, like, obviously that's crazy. Like, but if they were pumping out expansions every 6 months, it would not have been a 20-year wait for us to find out what was going on with Terrellion and Illyria. And so that's like the same thing. Like, unfortunately, it's like, okay, if we're going to put Thrall on the back burner for, say, two expansions, that's 4 years. 4 years, we're not going to see what happens to him, which seems like a long time. And it's just, it's the problem is like, the problem is like the narrative occurs at such a different rate that the expansions actually take place that this story winds up dragging on and we feel like nothing's happening. It's the difference. It's like when you watch a show, like when you watch like a serialized show and you're watching it every week and you get that 1 hour. And if that 1 hour, like, doesn't answer your questions, it doesn't address the plot lines that you want. Yeah, like Game of Thrones, exactly. Like, if you get that 1 hour and it's a slow hour, stuff doesn't happen, you are upset for the next week. You are just like, oh, they didn't talk about that. I can't get it out of my head. And then if you binge watch it later, if you come along, yes, as Alessandra pointed out in the chat, or Lost, which is exactly what I was thinking of, because my brother was just watching it. And I was yelling at him because in season three, there was the first six episodes where some of the characters are in cages and. Yeah, and you know, and then at the end of that, there's like a little cliffhanger when they finally make a break for it. And then we had to wait like 3 or 4 months because they took a little hiatus. And it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then my brother, he watched the whole series in like 2 weeks. And so it's like, there's no time. Like, you get at that point, if you get a slow episode, you just move right on to the next one. And it's one of those things, like, I guess the closest thing to binge watching Warcraft would be like if you start a character from zero and then just level up because you go through, you play through Mr. Pandaria and it's like, okay, well, Raytheon was talking. Well, actually, you don't get to see Raytheon talking about the Legion invasion because they removed that quest. But, you know, but presumably if you could do this the right way, you would see Raytheon talking about the Legion invasion. You know, you would play through the raids and see him eat the Thunder King heart and all that stuff. And then you would go into Draenor and then you would immediately come out of Draenor and go over here. And then if you play through, you know, if you level from 0 to 100 and you play through all the story and you experience that in what, 2 weeks? Well, gee, you don't notice as much like the fact that, you know, like you don't notice as much that Khadgar shows up in Burning Crusade and then not again till Warlords of Draenor. Sure, you know, he wasn't there for like 2 or 3 expansions, but you don't notice that because you were just moving along. And by the time you would start to miss him, he's back. But when you're sitting there and that's 2 years per expansion, like, yeah, people were wondering, like, are we going to see Khadgar again? There was a point where people did not know that we would see Khadgar again. And now it's like, can we kind of, not that we can get rid of him, but like, dude, can you take a break a little bit? He's good, but it's like, you know,
more just Khadgar.
Take like a weekend off.
There's not enough Khadgar in my life ever. I need a Khadgar cowbell. But
yes.
I guess my point with Thrall is that I just wish they had wrapped it up a little differently. Like, my major gripe was that they just, like, they didn't really wrap it up like, hey, I'm going to go spend some time with my family. Like, that would have been perfectly fine, totally legitimate, and I would have been like, okay, they're just going to let him take a break. But he's just like, I need to go ponder things. He just, like, fucking just leaves. He just, you know, he goes, and, you know, Agra's still there in the Order Hall and everything, so to me, it just feels kind of weird. Like, he's, as a shaman player, I'm like, okay, he's, like, the foremost shaman in the world. He gave me the Doomhammer. Okay. But if he's just like, you know, he's like, well, I need to go figure out all the stuff about the elements. He just, like, leaves. And they're like, okay, so we're in this big crisis, and you're just gonna leave. But, I don't know. I just, for his story, I was hoping that they would wrap it up a little differently for now. But it just felt very... Yeah, I felt very rushed for a character that was very beloved to me, so.
Speaking of wrapping up things, I think that's actually a good point to wrap this show up.
So. I would agree.
So this has been The Torin and the Goblin, number 27. It was good to be back. It was good to talk with you, Katie, because it had been a while.
Yeah, it was definitely great. I was really happy to be back and talk about Warcraft again.
So yes, and we'll be back again every 2 weeks talking about more stuff going forward. So you can email us if you have any questions or comments. Alisander, I know he's in the chat channel here. You know, thank you to Alisander and Ro for being in the chat channel. Alisander, I know she's always sending an email, so we'll have to get to her emails at some point. But if anybody has any emails, you can email us at torngoblin@mashthosebuttons.com. You can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, on iOS devices, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Podbean, and by RSS feed. Links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. Katie, where can people find you?
At HyruleMaster77 on Twitter.
And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. We are at Torin Goblin at Twitter. You can also find us at MTB site, Facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, YouTube.com/mashthosebuttons. Normally we'll be streaming at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. Today we did not because we were recording on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday. Our next show should be, on October 4th. At 10:30 p.m. If the schedule changes, we will tweet about that as it did change this week. So just follow us on Twitter. You can find out when we're recording. You can also check us out on Discord in the Mash Those Buttons community. It's discord.me/mashthosebuttons. I usually hang out in there during the day and sometimes at night, late at night. So you can check us out in there. Talk about all the lore and the Warcraft stuff that you want to talk about there. If you have any questions, you can go to mashthosebuttons.com/schedule for all our scheduling details. So thank you again to Alisander and Ro for being in the chat room. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing. For Katie, I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you.
Time is money, friends.